Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. We're back at In the Open, and we are going to have a fabulous discussion with a guest of ours who's been on the show before. His name is Matt. Say hello.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
That's Teresa. So we're so excited to have this conversation with Matt because we are going to be talking about the fact that we hate our bodies and what that is like. And I am so interested in hearing from Matt because he has a totally different perspective as a male. So we're going to just jump right in.
Cool.
Okay. Well, do we all hate our bodies? Like, just let's take a pulse.
Yes.
Yeah, it depends on the day, but most often, yes.
Matt, probably yes. Okay, well, let's start with each of us. I think what does it look like for you when you hate on your body? Like, I hate my body. There are a lot of topics here where I really resonate with, like, what's happening. But having worked with people who have, like, body dysmorphia or eating disorders, I know I don't have the same relationship with my body as those individuals do who struggle with those thoughts and that kind of addiction, right? So I think it is very interesting because I don't hate my body as much as I love Cheetos. No. So if I had to choose my body over Cheetos, I would choose Cheetos every day.
Right.
I don't know that I really know what it feels like for people who really struggle with poor body images in that way, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's a constant – I'm going to try and describe what I know that they describe it like, but it sounds in the same way as like – the way we talk about depressed thoughts or anxious thoughts, where they just ruminate inside your head and you cannot get rid of it. And it feels like almost a demon inside of you that's constantly telling you that you're not good enough, not pretty enough. And so the only way to control it is to create habits like eating disorders as a way to battle those specific negative thoughts that are tied not to your personhood, but to specifically your physical appearance. Would you say that you struggle with body dysmorphia, Matt?
No.
Okay. So today is not necessarily about like body dysmorphia or eating disorders. We're going to talk just everyday people who also hate our bodies.
Yeah.
Is that true, America?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say I hate my body all the time. I hate my body. What it looks like for me is this connection around not being able to be comfortable in my own skin at times. Mm-hmm. So what that looks like for, I guess, for me is like, oh, I want to go shopping. And I'm like, God, I hate shopping because then I have to try on clothes. And then inevitably, because the fact that I'm short is an issue, finding the right, you know, fit in terms of that. And then because I struggle with my weight fluctuates. And I'm like, you know, I have to really put myself in the right mind frame to be like, okay, you're in a good place to go shopping.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
That's really, I guess I do relate to that. There are days where I'm just not going to go clothes shopping.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I have a friend and he is someone who I deeply admire. He's one of the smartest people I know. He's very successful. He has a wonderful family. And we went to lunch, I don't know, a couple months ago, and we're sitting there and I'm chowing down on a grilled cheese sandwich that I'm enjoying immensely. And he says, Matt, and he's lost a lot of weight, and really proud of him because I've put on 60 pounds in the past year and a half and he's taken off 60 pounds and more. And he goes, I want to talk to you. You once told me that you're a food addict. He was like, were you kidding? And I was like, no, like my late sister had a severe drinking problem. She was an alcoholic and it killed her. She also had horrible body issues. She had gained quite a bit of weight and she felt she hated herself. And I feel blessed that my addiction did not go into the alcohol realm, but I treat myself just, I hate myself as much as probably she did, but I veer to food. And people were like, well, you know, after my sister passed, they were like, oh, I'm so glad, you know, you didn't have this problem with alcohol. But I'm like, and I tell people this, I'm like, yeah, but with alcohol, you can stop drinking. And it's,
yeah,
you know,
I get what you're saying.
But with food, I have a million triggers that, yep. And it's all self-medicating. I like food, but there are triggers where it becomes overeating to the point where I know I should stop and I can't, and to feel completely and totally out of control until I make myself almost sick. The guilt and the shame and the, you know, seeing myself in the mirror, all the body changes that happen. And I've yo-yoed since I was in my mid-20s. I've been yo-yoing. And I go up 60, I lose 60, I go up 60, you know. And I wish I had a different body. I wish I wasn't stuck in this one. I feel like I have a decent handle on my mental health. I feel like meditation and Prozac have really helped me. And one of the reasons I got on Prozac, the day that I fell apart in my my psychiatrist or physician's assistant's office who prescribed me Prozac, I said, I am horribly depressed and I am eating myself to death. I have to do something. Is there anything that can help with both? She goes, because I had heard of Wellbutrin, and I've heard of people getting on that, and it helps with their anxiety and depression. It also, I think, has helped people lose weight. And I was like, let's do some Wellbutrin. Let's get this going. And she's like, you know, she had this giant book of medications. She was flipping through and she's like, the only one that has research-based findings that can help with both anxiety and depression and food is Prozac. And I was like, okay, yeah, serve it up. And I don't want to say that Prozac has helped me lose weight because I haven't, but I feel that I have a handle, at least. I'm very overweight and I still overeat and I still hide eating. It's, you know, all those things that I know my sister did when she was drinking. I do that with food. I hide it. You know, I will do the most damage to myself when no one knows. And I don't know why I'm doing it, but it's total self-destruction. And so, yeah, okay. I just said all that on a podcast.
I did not think this was where this episode was going to go, but you're talking, Matt, and I'm like, America and I probably really relate to food addiction.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, we've talked about our weird food habits and our odd relationship with food, the way we use it as a coping mechanism. Yes. I hate food as much as I love yes. food.
Yeah, dude.
And then I hate my body yes. as much as I love yes. my body.
Yes.
And mostly I want to punch something.
Yes.
You know, it's so important what you're saying, Matt, because everything that you were saying, I was just like, yep, yep, yep. You know, and the idea behind it, right, is that we have come to find ourselves in this place where our physical being is, we're just not content with it, right? And it's not right. just about weight. Like yeah. when you talk about the connection that you have with food
yeah.
and, you know, and you relate it back to your sister's story around her addiction, it really is an addiction. And you can stop drinking alcohol or something like that, but you can't stop eating.
Yeah.
You need food. You need sustenance to survive. The difficulty, I think, in what Teresa and I have talked about before is that there is a connection for us in how we feel and the food that we eat, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. like, despite the fact that research shows us that there's this connection between what we actually put into our body, you know, and how we feel, we still go and eat the Cheetos, right? And I think for me, I've had to learn, and I'm still learning every day. I'm still learning how to move through these thoughts to be able to get to a place of me not saying, okay, people have talked, you know, have heard me talk about cupcakes. I love freaking cupcakes, man. Give me a cupcake and I'm happy, you know? But it's like, do you really need this cupcake, dude? Like, find yeah. something else that's going to bring you joy.
Right.
And that's the hard part. That takes work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't think that any of us would say that we hated our bodies or loved and hated food if we all had an addiction to kale.
Like, yeah.
That is not what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is an important distinction. Like, do you think that learning to love your body and learning to have good habits requires us to go back to our past? to understand why we do the things we do? Or do we just focus on the present and go like, nope, I don't care where it came from. I just need to change my behaviors today. Like, which one is it?
I have, and I think I've kind of figured that out. I have not figured out how to combat that with my food urges. Like I have the cognizance. It's like an out of body experience of like, I know better than what I'm doing. And I'm like, stop. And so with the racing thoughts, we talk, you know, it was a separate entity telling you things. With food addiction, it feels like I'm the thought telling the body to stop, and I can't.
For me, Teresa, it has to be both. Like, I want to understand why I have these thoughts. It's a lot of work. And while I'm trying to understand them, life's still happening. So I'm just trying to manage both. Mm-hmm. I've done some thinking around these issues, and I've never actually explored it in therapy, but I have some ideas around it. Some of it is cultural, you know, and how, at least in the Hispanic culture, you know, everybody has an opportunity to say something about your body. It's like, mm-hmm. Why do you feel the need to comment about my body when I'm growing up? Like, I remember, you know, like being younger and just already I was never like a thin child, you know, and then somebody would be like, oh, look, estás gordita, which means basically you're putting on weight. And it's like, thanks. I haven't noticed that.
I think that for all three of us, we certainly have a history of body shaming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Growing up, like either, you know, Matt, you talked about somebody picking at you about your body and feeling shame.
Yeah, my acne was horrible and I felt ashamed and I felt cursed and I wanted to do anything to escape it and I couldn't. And I think when we get to the solutions part, I think I want to talk about compassion and self-love. And that's so hard to love yourself despite this, what I'm looking at right now. You know, it's like, and that is, and people say, well, you just need to love yourself and accept yourself. And that, and it, you know, and I think there's a lot of judgment. I'm like, oh, well, you're just vain. You know, you
should just. No, vanity has nothing to do with this.
It really isn't. I always have this like dream of like having the perfect body and knowing what that perfect body would do for my mental health. Mm-hmm. I want it mostly because I wouldn't have to think, am I going to do something extremely stupid at lunch today? If I could never think about food again, I would do that in a second.
Yeah.
I love food so much, but I could somehow take a pill and it would like keep my body going and I could just be free of this baggage, this addiction. And then another thing is I also, as a man, dudes don't talk about this. Like, we don't talk about this. That's why I enjoy working. The majority of my coworkers are female and I love talking to them about this stuff because they are so open and I feel like I can talk to them. But when I'm around dudes and we're watching football and drinking beer, like, we don't talk about our body weight issues, even though we all have them. I wish I was bold enough and courageous enough. There's an Overeaters Anonymous group that I could go to tomorrow. I could go and do group therapy. But that seems so scary to me. So I weigh about 230 pounds. I'm 5'9". And I feel that if I went into a group therapy session, people would be like, oh, well, you're not, you know, you're fine. You know, people tell me, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about your weight. You're good. But it's like, no, I need to talk to somebody who understands this stuff so I can work through my addiction, just like I work with a mental health professional to work through my negative thoughts and depression. I need to work through this addiction.
You know, though, Matt, there are also Overeater Anonymous groups online.
Really?
Yes. So like for people that don't know that, if there is a group called Overeaters Anonymous, which enables people to actually connect with other people that are struggling. And I know somebody, a friend of a family member of mine, that started going to Overeaters Anonymous and found a healthy relationship with food, because that's what we're aiming for, right?
Yeah. But wait, like, but I guess online then, because Matt feels shame. Like, he doesn't want to go to Overeaters Anonymous because he's afraid of the shame or the judgment that comes with addiction. So we should definitely talk about that. But maybe going to an OA group online means you can troll around and sort of be in the group without, like, I don't know if they call you out in the group. Like, do they do the rituals, the same rituals? Hey, I have to introduce myself. Yeah. And, like, is there an expectation online? Like,
yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Part of what I think works in OA or any kind of AA meeting is that, like, I know when I go walk in, like, people are going to be super supportive and all the judgment or fear is inside of me. But
sure.
At the same time, there's accountability, you know, because we all didn't show up here because we wanted to just keep feeding the addiction, right?
Right.
But I don't want to jump too quickly into telling you about what you should do in groups. Without first just acknowledging that one of the themes I think that we're coming up here is that when it comes to our anxiety, maybe in our depression or ADHD and mental health problems, we have come to a place where we've tackled them, but recognizing that addiction is a different beast and it's in some ways a different challenge.
I think it's important though to highlight the distinction that for many people, they may not understand that the relationship they have with food is maybe an addiction. Because we talk about having a relationship with food. I don't know what other person talks like that, you know, other than somebody who struggles with these ideas. So there may be a lot of folks out there that are just like, yeah, I'm struggling and I hate my body and may have not gotten to the point of understanding. It may be related to your ideas around food, but it can also be related to other aspects like trauma that is related back to your body. You know, I remember being younger and I developed really early. And then, you know, I was in like seventh grade and I was like fully developed and I had attention of men, you know? So I think as a protective factor, I also was very conscious of the fact that I created distance between myself and men because that's a whole different kind of relationship. And you can kind of internalize that. And that also becomes an issue that you can lead you to hate your body. So it's not all weight based.
Sometimes we can nitpick specific things about our body.
Oh, yeah.
That aren't weight based, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
The shape of our eyes, the color of our hair, the way our nose is.
The tone of your skin, you know, right. With people of color, you know, and like the fact that I'm lighter than somebody from a more indigenous group of Bolivia, all those things like impact how we think about ourselves and they can totally like mess with your mind and just become these triggers.
Yeah.
It does seem that the first step to getting better is what you described, Matt, which is self-compassion. Like, I don't think that we can heal hatred without building capacity for love. I hate the L word.
It's hard to have compassion for yourself. It's also hard to forgive yourself and say, you know, it's okay.
Let's talk about excuse making. Like, is there something special about hating your body and it's tied to food and exercise and the way that we even like we're champions at self-hatred when we get to those bad places, whatever thoughts we have, I always feel like our group is the best at beating ourselves up. And then we sometimes use it to justify why it's okay to eat bad food, why it's okay to not exercise or make other excuses for not making better choices. Is that true?
Yes.
Why do we do that? Is it just because I want an excuse?
I put it back to it takes work to actually make change happen. And doing the work is hard.
Especially when you've worked hard in other ways.
Yeah.
I know.
You're like, I work so hard in everything. Work so hard to deal with the depression. Work so hard to deal with the trauma. Work so hard in all this stuff. And it doesn't always go away, you know, like, because this is the issue. It's like dual issues. Like, our issues are mental health problems, and then our issues are addiction problems. So it's so much energy and effort to deal with your mental health problems. By the time I get to my addiction problems, I'm like, screw it. You know? And it's not fair.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's true that if I had, I come from a family of alcoholics as well. So I'm good at checking my alcoholism. But if I had a dual issue that became bigger than the mental health issue, then I'd probably be more convinced that I needed to do something about it. But because it's my body and my food, I have an infinite capacity to just, I guess, keep going there, you know, which is really horrible. Until what? You know, something is going to happen eventually. Until I'm like, you know what? Stop going to Jack in the Box.
Taquitos.
Taquitos. This is bad. We're going to go.
We're not going down that route.
We maybe just need to talk about it a little bit to feel better so we can move on. Just kidding.
That's horrible. You know, like Matt was talking about earlier, like the ability, like, and the wish, like it was really like a wish around not being able to think about these issues. Yeah. Dude, I would love that.
I know.
You know, when I see people that are just, to me, right, I think they look healthy, whatever. And I'm just like, oh, look. You look so put together. Right. That's wonderful. I wonder if you think about what you're going to eat today as soon as like you wake up, because you're trying to be mindful of what you eat. And then you get into these places of like complete suckiness because you're just like, oh, okay. I guess I have no willpower. And for me, that's where it gets at, right? Like, and you said it, Teresa, like we put so much work into other areas of our life that when we have to put it on ourselves, and something for me is, and I'm just speaking about myself, like, I ask myself the question, why can't you do what you do in all other areas of your life for this thing that would make you feel better?
Yeah.
I don't have the answer.
I know.
So, look, I think for this podcast, I think that we have done a great job at empathizing with what it feels like to hate our bodies. And I think we have to mull over genuine self-compassion in this space.
Right.
But I think we're going to have to come back after some of our own work and do an episode on making better food choices.
Yes.
Or something like that, you know, because I don't know that we're, I mean, I think we just have to be honest with our audience and ourselves. Like maybe we're not in a good place to even figure out what we know the first step group.
Sure.
We know the first step. Like maybe we need to think about how to practice that better with regards to our bodies and our self-image.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry, Matt. One of the things I was going to say, what helps me, and you've talked about it before, Teresa, is about having an accountability buddy, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody that will help you keep yourself accountable. Because if I don't keep myself accountable, somebody, please help me, right? Mm-hmm. So that person is like, okay, we are going to be doing X to try to do better. Mm-hmm. And that may be something that people can take away from our conversation, but also the fact that, you know, men, women, all of us are kind of struggling with these issues. And it's very common to struggle with these issues. And we're trying to create a safe space where these conversations can occur. So I think that's really important.
So this is legit. I'm not making this up. So I'm sitting here with doing this lovely podcast, and what I said about being afraid to go to an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, I think I'm calling BS on myself, and I just need to do it. And actually, my sister-in-law mentioned that she would go to an OA meeting with me, and I was like, I'm not doing that. But I just texted her. And I said, will you go to an OA meeting with me when you're in town? And she texts me right back. She says, OMG, yes.
Next time
we talk, I will have been to my first OA meeting. And I can report on it. And hopefully it won't be my only. That's a huge step, y'all. Like, we just made a breakthrough. That is scary. Like, you would not believe, but I'm going to do it and see what happens.
That's so awesome, dude. Matt.
Yeah.
Thank Matt you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Aw.
You guys are awesome.
That's really awesome. Matt, you're fighting in the open. Thanks for fighting with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, y'all. Check out Matt at Mental Health Download and check us next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Fight in the open.